Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another very interesting show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, our topic is community morale is low. Distrust for the police is high. Despite countless complaints to the city council week after week, crime is out of control while rogue police officers keep getting a pass. We're in an election year, and the current leadership downtown doesn't seem to hear the people. The people are saying a citizens review board is needed more now than ever, and a hand-picked board by the chief to address police misconduct is unacceptable. So tonight, we will outline why our current chief needs to give us a vision to lower crime, or give us his vision, rather, to lower crime and address officers who are not fit to be officers by the May 6, 2023 election. Without a vision, the people perish, and our city is in shambles. Y'all, that's what we're talking about tonight. The fact that, this is not an easy subject. I want you all to know this. This is not an easy subject, one I have toiled with all week long, up until about 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon, because whenever you talk about the police, there is a backlash, which is a sad thing, because you should not be afraid to talk about issues involving police. It should not be happening. Harassment, retaliation should not come just because you speak the truth about what's going on with the police department. The fact that our current chief recently called people who went to the city council and spoke out about police issues, I believe there was 8 that night, he called them haters. That was not a good look for the police chief. Instead of trying to address the issues and resolve them, he referred to the speakers as haters. Y'all, something's wrong with the way things are being handled in this city, and tonight we're going to talk about it. On the line with me tonight, Emmanuel Mata is on the line. Also, we're Christopher Marino. I see you there. And I see Adrian Devine. Good evening, everyone. Welcome.
Hey, Karen.
Hello.
Hey. Y'all, am I wrong? I mean, am I wrong with my intro with what I said?
No, that's a
Who's
good setup,
first?
Kerry. I'll just brief. Can I do a brief overlay? Or just it's like every week whenever we have this show, you know, even there's a whole new novella of drama going on with this on this subject, and you know, I do struggle, and I do strive to find respect for the con. I do understand that the community needs quote unquote law and order. I do completely understand that, and I do understand that there's dangers in the community that police have. There's situations and circumstances that present a threat, but the way that you mitigate that is to not hire officers such as that fail their psychological evaluations, that have arrest mm-hmm. records, that show a proclivity there are rubrics. I'll even use the word of Alyssa Dean used on the stand. There is a rubric for evaluating fitness of an officer. I mean, even the military, you know. If you go in the military and you say 2 or 3 of the wrong things, they interview you. You got to do a psych eval when you mm-hmm. enlist in the military, and they check. You don't get it. You don't get no do-overs, man. It's just like, it's not like putting you down, but it's like, hey, you need to get help. You need to figure stuff out. Come online. But this week we've had. I mean, it just keeps snowballing. Another dimension. And one of the issues that I've kind of come out with, and people want to see the hater or the, oh, you're going to play the race card, these dog whistle kind of like gaslighting things. People don't want to mm-hmm. have the conversation that needs to be had. But this week, I'm just sitting here. We had a Duffy. So the thing came out that you mentioned earlier about the haters. Well, this week, mm-hmm. Neil Noakes, I guess he tried to go on WFAA last week with Scoop Jefferson, and he tried to put out there, you know, a little PR. He said something. He said since he's been the chief, one of his goals is to make sure that we have a force that looks like – that our force looks like the community that they're patrolling. And that's one of the things that come up in – that's come up over and over and over again, right? However mm-hmm. – I watched this week the police academy. Just today, I watched the police academy graduation ceremony, and there was not a single black officer walking the stage out of over 30 officers. That's a concern for me.
Mata said there were no Hispanics either. Is that what you said, Mata?
Oh no, over half of them were Hispanic. And there were fewer white ones than there were Hispanics. I'm just saying.
Okay, so there were, but there's a lot going on. I mean, and it's very shocking that I think they say blacks make up 19% of the population or something like that. How can we have a police training academy, you know, and not have any blacks in it. That just doesn't make sense. And you just can't tell me that no blacks applied because I'm not going to believe that. And the question is, why did they not make it? Was the fence higher for them to go over than it was for others? That's the question. But Mark,
yeah, I think there's two ways to look at it, and I think there's two factors in play there. I think that the police department is dealing with the issue of, I'm white, but I'm just putting myself in the shoes with everything that's going on with the police. I'm saying to myself, why would I get in that? You know, I would be a little bit apathetic about pursuing that kind of, I'm just saying that, I mean, there's a thing there. You know, there's a hurdle that, I mean, I do know that there's, anyway, and the other part of it is, I sit here and say that we've had Neil Noakes for 2 years, we had Ed Krause, we had some good stuff, I think we had a good trend. We had some very good trends and a positive impact with Fitzgerald. But what I say, since Fitzgerald left, is we wound all the way back to Halstead. We're right there. Here we are 10 years down the road, and we're still at the same place as far as, because there was a lot of racial issues internally with the police department with Halstead.
I agree. Mata, we recently saw online your arrest for filming the police, and it was frightening to watch 5 or 6 cars pull up on you. Tell us a little bit about that and what was your, you know, take on what happened.
You know, and I'm glad that y'all brought those two points out before you asked me that, because that ties into what this is all about, right? Mm-hmm. See, the problem that people are facing is whenever you stand up for yourself, mm-hmm. it has to be limited. It has to be how it makes them feel comfortable that you get to assert your rights. But you can do anything you want. You can assert your rights, but as long as it makes them feel comfortable and safe, right? So while doing that, you get confused because you don't understand what makes them feel comfortable or safe. What can you tell them? You know, because trying to stay within the law is like it doesn't exist to them. Just anything that you say or whatever. And then it's like one person, and this is my issue is with individual police officers, not as a whole. That's why I keep saying what I'm saying. Maybe one of them in charge will listen. Maybe one of them, it'll hit them in the head or the heart of what I'm talking about, right? Because that's all that's left for us. That's all we can say. Ask questions. Because when nothing makes sense, that's what we were taught in school. Raise your hand if nothing makes sense. Ask a question. Because the only dumb one is the one you don't ask. Mm-hmm. Right? So why is it when I ask, how can an officer lie on a police report that they put forth in front of a judge to get an affidavit signed mm-hmm. to give them probable cause? Why can a whole department lie together as a group? Mm-hmm. And then make it seem like I'm wrong for trying to get answers, because that's all it is. Because I didn't know that the First Amendment, you know, for press and the speech had a limit. I didn't know that it was that somewhere they mandated that if you hurt someone's feelings or they didn't like the way you said something to them, that they're allowed to do whatever they wanted to because they had a badge. I don't remember that. I never got that memo, or I never read it in a case law anywhere.
Well, I tell you what was confusing about what I saw when they did what they did to you this last time they arrested you. I saw a man with a camera. And, you know, a lot of times I'm hearing people, you know, say they call police and police never even show up. But that for you, they had 5 or 6 cars. And
yeah,
I'm thinking,
you got
a camera.
And she called it that way on her own. Like, for whatever reason, she felt like I scared her or something or whatever, whatnot. But then again, look what you just said, a guy with a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And they already know me. This same lady, her name, I mean, she already tried to kick me out of the city hall meeting. Whenever they did what they did to me for filming what Thomas and Bob were saying to them, and they kicked me out of the mayor told me to get out and all this, and they trespassed me. Well, she was one of them there. She was the main one who gave them a name that wasn't even mine.
Whoa.
And it's just like that's what I mean. Like all I said to her was slow down, right? And I was getting signatures. I was walking around getting signatures, right? And it was weird because it's like they're allowed to lie. And this is my key point. This is why we need something different than internal affairs in the Office of Police Oversight Monitor or what he's proposing by his group. Because we already proven three different times that it doesn't work because they're not stopping. They're not doing. They're just getting more smarter, more conniving, you know. And these are, I'm talking about the bad ones because the good ones can't say nothing because we're dealing with supervisors, higher people that are telling them, be quiet. This is how you're going to do it or shut up, right? Because they know that it's just one officer, just like I'm one person filming them. Right? Because I don't believe that all officers in Fort Worth are like this. I don't. That's why when I went to the city council meeting, I say I focused on Central B, A, and South because that's where I'm having the most ugliest experiences for just filming them. And they get mad because I tell them I don't like what they're doing and I try to state the law, right? Because it's weird that you can't, like, try to take them out of their little trip they're on, their little program state of mind where everyone's a suspect, everyone they need to worry for. So how can you sit here and say that you're protecting and serving the community if every person you run into you take as a threat? How can those two words be combined? And those are your actions.
We stopped listening
to what they've been saying years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching what you are doing now.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And
I say that we're
dealing with the same thing. We talked about this issue with the condescension that we get off the dais at city council. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All of it in a nutshell comes from this chip on your shoulder attitude that we got whenever you receive criticism. You are a public servant. You are accountable to the people. And I understand that some people come a little stiff but the first thing you got to do as a public servant is put away the spirit of offense. And you have to have some interpersonal flexibility. Okay? But everything that we get from what you've seen over and over again, as soon as one of our public servants on city council or one of our police officers feels slighted or feels that their authority is being questioned or this, that, whatever, well, that's a problem for me because it's like I always say, it's this cultural thing that are trying to pound down hammers. It's authoritarian. It's totalitarian. I took training when I worked for the Juvenile Justice Department, and what they tell you is you de-escalate. You have to ask a question. Don't give a command. What Manuel went through, Manuel walked up on a situation that was kind of confusing. You gotta put yourself in somebody else's shoes for just a moment. Like I said, unless there is some exigent reason that shots are being fired and then whatever. Okay, but if it ain't a combat situation such as it wasn't when Manuel got this last arrest that we saw in the video, you step out of the car, let Manuel take a breath, and then say, Manuel, can you let me say something for a minute? I got to pull this. I got to handle this business. When I get – you can stay right there and film, okay? But I don't have time to answer your questions right now. If you give me a minute, I will get with you, film, and let me handle my business real quick. Okay, but you can't shoot somebody in the face, and then total. You know, that's what I'm saying, and we get that all the time.
Adrian, I'm sorry. You there? Can you hear us?
I'm here, Carrie. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I was
Okay, so hey everybody, good evening. I'm more or less coming in on the police advisory board perspective. Again, and I'm gonna continue saying this, Chief Noakes, we don't want what you're offering, because the same thing you're offering, it seems like basically you're taking a page out of the Race and Culture Task Force playbook. It sounds like it's their recommendations, but you're wanting to take credit for them. And no, we cannot have people from the force. He said he's gonna get same thing that the Race and Culture Task Force recommended. People from within the community who, these are not just people who just came on the scene. These are people who have been prominent in the community, people who have been active, you know, in the community, people who have been, you know, involved in what's going on. I like their approach, because we know it's going to be a multi-ethnic type situation, you know. And again, I go back to this question: who knows the community better than the community? But the community. Mm-hmm. So law enforcement can have law enforcement. Y'all can have that perspective. Y'all always say, well, y'all don't know law. Okay, we don't. Okay, cool. Y'all keep that. Mm-hmm. But the community, until you all wonder why the community don't cooperate with you all, with your little investigation. You wonder why people in the community don't see nothing when something happens. Oh, yeah, we see things. We hear things. But you wonder why they don't. Why should they give you all information and help you all with your investigation when it comes to you all's bad apples? Y'all don't do the same thing. Y'all don't hold your own bad apples. Y'all don't hold your own bad apples accountable. So why within our community should grandmothers and mothers and fathers or whoever risk their lives because you put the community in jeopardy when you start doing it? Yeah, I don't even talk that snitching. I don't even talk that snitching talk. That narrative is not a part of my thinking. You know, but to get people to help you all with what's going on if you're trying to investigate a crime, because we don't like crime. We don't like crime in our communities. We don't like crime in our communities. We don't want crime in our communities, okay? But if you want to get people in helping you to move things forward, you have to show us that not only are you going to stop brutalizing us, but you got to start holding your own accountable. So what Chief Noakes is doing, I'm going to go back to this, Kerry. He's doing it because he know the council. He got the council where he want them. He know this.
Yeah.
So.
And this is an election year, y'all. That's why I said we need a plan. We need a clear plan before May 6th, 2023. Because if this council continues to co-sign what he's saying as though it's okay with the community, which is not, then we need new leadership. Y'all get it? New leadership.
Kerry,
go ahead.
And a quick observation, Kerry, what you're saying about this election year. You remember that gentleman you shared with me earlier that's already getting endorsements from the POA? So that'll be another roadblock to anything we're trying to do when it comes to these votes. When it comes to these votes, these POA get their cronies, more of their cronies in there, people they support. I ain't gonna say kiss it goodbye, but it's gonna make it that much harder to get the votes we need, because we know these people only gonna vote one way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I didn't mean to cut you off, Kerry, but thank you.
No, I'm agreeing with you. And y'all, you know what? The reason we're having this show tonight, and like I say, I struggle with it all week and all the way up until 5 o'clock today before I even posted it. Because I know it's retaliation and a backlash when you do this. But you know why I'm doing it here? Because you can't do it at council. You know what I'm saying? If you go down to council and you tell your leaders, we got a problem, then your police chief calls you a hater. You know, Chief, that was just not a good look, Chief Noakes. I mean, you don't ever tell people who are crying out for help, you're a crybaby. You know, that's like a slap in the face. So if you can't tell the city council that there's a problem, and you can't tell the police there's a problem, and you can't tell IED because they're not going to do anything but record what you say yet, and you can't tell OPM because all they do is write policies. They don't reprimand officers or do investigative work. So who are you supposed to tell? I mean, make that make sense. Who the hell are you supposed to tell in Fort Worth if you can't go down to the city council with and tell them that there's a problem with the police without getting called a hater? That was insane that he even said that as a leader of this city. I mean, shame on you, Chief. I mean, absolutely shame on you, because that's like re-victimizing a victim. You know how basically a child, you know, and this is a horrible example, but it's the one that to me seems to be one that stresses my point. If a child is a victim of a rapist, a pedophile, and then they're forced to go to court and tell their story, and then they're interrogated by the defense as though they're, you know, lying, or as though they're somebody who can't be believed, you know, and that the crime didn't really occur. When it did, that's the way it seemed like it felt. You were raping those people who were courageous enough to get up before counsel and say, we got a problem. When Pastor Tatum took that family up there, I mean, oh my God. And told how the police officers had held a gun to those children's head when those people had nothing to do with whatever the crime was, that was insane.
And we had the same thing a few years ago when we had the same thing over and over and over again. The black community, the white community, everybody is reliving the and you know, we want to have this, they want to sit here and have this discussion and write off an excuse about mental health issues or getting out of control. Well, listen, you know how mental, you know what contributes and is a big factor in mental health issues is trauma. And when your police are committing traumatically victimizing people like that, you're going to have, the city should have sat there and sent some mental health intervention people after that happened, but they don't have any initiative.
And you know what? That video where we just watched the man with the pepper spray in his pocket that the chief just talked about on the video.
Yeah.
The truth be known, that man was I think barefoot from what I could see. I mean, and he had even taken off his shirt at one point, and literally. I'm sorry, they had a car in which they could have went and blocked him off from getting to the daycare center if the daycare center was really the real issue. So,
no, listen.
You know, some may make it sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that scenario, it goes to what I'm sitting there saying. The interpersonal factor is non-existent with these police. They're coming at people like RoboCop, okay? They had the 911 call. I understand it was a bad situation. The dude was out of control. He had what it appeared to be a weapon and everything like that, okay? They arrive. If you watch the screen, if you watch the video, they pull up on him. Yeah, he's in this situation. He's standing in the middle of the road. There's nobody around. He doesn't have a hostage or anything like that. And I'm just going to tell you, on a mental health note, and on when I worked in TJJD, they trained us. Muscle memory in your mind about de-escalation. If you can, you ask questions. If they would, that dude was sort of talking to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
all they sat there and did was pull their. They came in, guns up, call of duty, and started barking commands. That does not de-escalate, especially in a mental health crisis. What you have to do is you have to get that person on the hook with questions. If you get that person to talk and say, what's your name? Where are you heading? Okay? Look, I need to ask you, it looks like you have a gun. Is that a gun in your hip? You know, you can talk to people, ask them questions, and get them talking. And it's a mirror. Like, I'm not trying to Monday morning quarterback, but still. There is a protocol that we pay these police officers $100,000 a year out of the police academy with 9 months of training, and we get them coming out, and all they can do is play a Call of Duty.
Well, let's do this. Let's say this, and I've never been trained as a police officer, y'all, so I'm not even pretending I have been. What I do know in any situation, in any type of employment. You have to properly assess the situation in order to come up with a solution. That's in any line of work. And it seems like in a lot of these cases, you're not properly assessing what they're dealing with. And so if you go into anything with a preconceived notion about what's happening without actually then following up and making sure what you think is really what's going on, then you will probably 9 times out of 10 react the wrong way. And we saw that with the Aaron Dean case. They went there with the preconceived notion that something was going on. And despite every indicator, the lights being on, you know, the doors being open, you know, the trunk not open, the doors aren't open so that, you know, people are stealing stuff. They're going to have the doors open, I would think, to the car so that they could put the items in there. The fact that the cars belong to the homeowners, you know, the list goes on and on. But if you walk into any situation thinking it's something other than what it is, then if you don't have the proper assessment once you get there to say is what I thought really was happening, then you're going to react like we're seeing. And these people are too trigger happy. I mean, when you get through, you cannot shoot at every moving thing. I mean, some of these situations absolutely should be able to be de-escalated. You know, sometimes it's just
A quick analysis, one last quick analysis of that situation, and this is where I'm at with Noakes, okay? I hear you guys trying to have a conversation, trying to kind of nudge him along that you can get. Listen, what I have with Noakes right now and what I think everybody should look at is an integrity, his zero integrity. Because what I'm going to tell you every single time that he comes up, if you watch that video that he says when he does his little presentation about the officer-involved shooting, he states things, and you got to be objective about it. You got to look at it and listen. He says that the officers not knowing whether or not are assuming that the daycare was occupied, right? He's trying to control this narrative. He's throwing up deception. And then the video is edited. Let me tell you, I think this incident happened on Saturday morning at 7 a.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
Because at 7 a.m., if there's a daycare, there's going to be traffic in there everywhere. At 7 a.m., people dropping. There was nobody in that damn. Okay, so whatever. But he lied. He lied. On that video, on his little statement that he made before he played the body cam, he said the officers knowing, and here's how you also know he lied. When they followed that guy up to the, when he, that guy started walking towards the daycare and they followed him, they fired several rounds at that dude with the daycare in the background. If they had judged that there was people in danger in that daycare, they would not have fired those rounds under those circumstances, because somebody could have walked out, a round could have went through the window. So Neil Noakes is a lying bastard, and he needs to be fired.
You know, the way I feel about Chief Noakes is right now I don't have any confidence, because he knows his IAD department, Internal Affairs, for anybody that does not know what that is, Internal Affairs Department is ineffective. I mean, basically, Mata, I think you gave the data on how many of those cases actually get resolved. They go through IED. What were those numbers?
I don't remember that exact number because I don't have it, that paper in front of me. But look, put it like this, right? Look how many complaints I got sustained. There's like probably 25. Okay, now the problem we have here, right, with Internal Affairs is when you call them, they're not trying to take your complaint. They're trying to tell you you don't have a complaint.
Yeah.
And I'll even go further, right? Okay, say that I went and filed a complaint, right? Mm-hmm. That I didn't want to go to up there no more because I felt that I was being followed, or they were trying to make it seem like I was just filing nonsense complaints, right? And I ended up calling up there, mm-hmm. and they said, "No, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it." Right? And then you wait a couple of days and you don't get a response, you don't get a number or nothing, right? So then you call up there and then they tell you, "Well, no one's took your complaint."
Wow.
So you're going to have to come down here. So mind you, a week's already went by now. Hmm. So you go down there and I go down there and then I file that same complaint. Now, tell me why I filed this complaint last year in October, maybe around that time. I'm going to say around October. And here we are. What month are we in now? February?
March. Mm-hmm.
See, and they still haven't told me nothing.
See?
And it was a case where I walked up on a traffic stop and I had called for a supervisor and a supervisor showed up and he was trying to tell me that as long as I didn't interfere, and I told him, you would know better than anyone being a supervisor what interference is. It means I have to be in between you and what you're doing over there in the car, not standing over here filming, right? Because I already allowed y'all to push me where y'all want to push me, right? So one of them officers told two that showed up that I had warrants for my arrest. Mm-hmm. And them dudes didn't even question it. They didn't even bother looking to see if I did or not. They just arrested me, and they were taking me to jail. And on the way to jail, because they took me from seminary and Hempfield. I was at a Burger King. Mm-hmm. And they got on the freeway on seminary, and then we got off on Allen, and they turned back around and dropped me back off.
Wow.
And then I asked the cops that arrested me, who told y'all I had warrants? And they're like, you're going to have to ask them. I'm like, who's them? There's no one around. Like, y'all literally, I'm like, wow. And then it's just weird how they get down like that. And they won't even, I had to literally, like, do some really investigating to find the actual number to that complaint because they gave me three different wrong ones. So you also got to be careful when they say, well, here's the number to this complaint. You got to actually make sure that's your complaint because I figured out they'll lie. They'll use that too. And that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't work. Like, nothing. I've even tried to tell them, look, man, they're laughing. Then they even tell me to my face, what, are you going to go file the complaint? Because they know you're helping them. They know you're helping them. Because how is it that I've managed to get every arrest that I have, I managed to get a complaint sustained on all of those arrests.
Wow.
And then I get arrested by Bangle, and then it's all different. Now they're saying he didn't do nothing wrong. So who changed the policies and procedures to where it protects the officer?
But see, IED, in my opinion, is like the fox watching the hen house. I mean, seriously, it's like
that's,
no matter
what
you
it is.
Yeah,
it
is.
Because look who it is. They're all police officers. They're all ex-detective, ex-this, ex-that, and whatever.
Neil
they're
Noakes,
all ex-police
I
officers.
Think,
that's all it is.
I think Neil Noakes used to be working. He did a stint in as an invest. I think his resume, he did a he was one of the leaders. I think he ran the Internal Affairs Division Department for a minute or so. But what I will tell you is listen to the words, Internal Affairs. That's what I'm saying. That whole concept, I've explained this, started years ago when they came up with Internal Affairs. That's for cops to snitch on cops. That is not for you, okay?
Wow.
And that's what people – you are external. And what you need to do is if there's a – I mean, you can do it. The first thing you need to do is do a criminal complaint, and then it needs to go. So I'm going to explain it even more with how it gets out of control. You heard about this new backpack in the South Command police station with dope, full of dope in the locker room?
Yep. Right.
Yep. So here's what I don't understand. Under the circumstances of that case, okay, what we have is the Fort Worth POA and the CLEAT. And the police union people, they're coming in, and they're coming to this dude's defense, okay? What I'm going to tell you is under the policy and under the laws of this state of Texas, that crime, the Fort Worth POA, and you only have your privileges from that union in misconduct that is committed in the official capacity, okay? So if you So if you've got, you're off duty, you're in the locker room, what I'm saying is the Fort Worth POA doesn't have jurisdiction to be interfering in that case. Because there's no Garrity for that cop. Garrity is the one where the cops get extra rights. There's no Garrity. It was drugs found. There was a crime. They found drugs in the locker room, right? So when they found drugs in that locker room, that had nothing to do with the cop's behavior in his official capacity. He broke the fucking law in possession of drugs.
Okay, pause for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, let's be clear. First of all, IED, we got what you just said, cops snitching on cops. Okay, but what we know for the most part, they're just record keepers. So we're gonna put that out there. IED is just record keepers for people like you and me who go and file complaints against police. Now, as far as
then what they wind up doing in many cases in an IED investigation, because of the Garrity rule, that cop, all of those sustained things that Manuel's sitting there saying, okay, that the cops did, the cops can sit there at the table and say, I did it, I confess, and take their little slap on the wrist, and then they can tell you that. It don't mean shit to them.
No,
to
right.
Because the internal affairs is administrative.
Right. Well, let me finish this point. Okay, now when we talk about the drugs in the locker room, okay, for anybody that does not know, they recently found drugs in the Fort Worth PD locker room, okay? And what it said was that they went to get a search warrant in August. So this was August of last year. And they said the search warrant just came back in February. Now, if they come to my house right now or your house and they want to get in because they say a crime is being committed, and it's 7 o'clock tonight. I guarantee you, by 10 o'clock tonight, some judge would have signed off for them to get in. But they're wanting us to believe that it took them from August of last year to February of this year for them to get the search warrant done. Now, my question is this: since when does Fort Worth PD need a search warrant to search his own building?
They don't need a search warrant to search your kids. They don't need a search warrant to search your damn kids' locker room at high school. They run the dogs, and if the dog sniffs, if the dog alerts on your kids' locker, they snap it open and fucking bust you. Sorry, my
Period.
Language.
Period. Somebody's lying up.
I mean, y'all kind of missing an important part.
Okay.
Look at the excuses they gave. They didn't want to violate the officer's due process or his rights.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then was talking about the whole internal affairs thing. You know, I know that it doesn't mean anything. I know I'm not delusional. But all I need before you start going off on listen. Mm-hmm. All I need is them to not help me. Why isn't anyone understanding that? All I need to prove is they're not helping anyone, and I already have that. It's irrelevant that they don't care. That's the point. We know they don't care. So for people to be arguing about whether they care, it's irrelevant to me. My point is they don't help. That's why I stated that, just like the officers of oversight monitors. They don't help either because they're not there to help us. They're there to make sure that police officers that do bad things are covered for. And I've been saying that. So, again, I am not a cop hater. I'm against messed up people that have a badge and abuse it. Because if you have to lie to do your job, you're not doing your job.
But you know what? And I agree. I agree with you 100%. And I don't think anybody on this line is confused about they don't care. I think we know they don't care. But I think what I have a problem with this locker room thing is this. First of all, is anybody concerned where the drugs came from? Did they come from the evidence?
We don't know. No one's going to know.
Right. So we don't even care about that part. Why wasn't it immediately, since we want to jump to conclusions, why wasn't it automatically assumed that these were probably drugs that you know, belong to some crime. And so why warrant was that? Why would a search warrant be needed for that? Looks like to me somebody should have been going to check the evidence room and making sure some large amount of drugs wasn't missing from the evidence room. And in terms of a search warrant, wait, Chris. But in terms of just telling us, you know, the officer's rights is being violated, my bad. I mean, seriously, like, you know, it sounded like Chris said, if your child is doing something in your house and you paying the rent and buying the clothes and buying the food, they don't have no right. And so in terms of an officer misbehaving to the point that he's dumb enough or she's dumb enough to bring drugs to work, first of all, they should have been automatically terminated, let alone talking about an investigation and a search warrant that took all those months. None of that is making any sense. So I'm really starting to wonder who really brought the drugs in the locker room.
Well, here's the speculation that I have. I'll let me speculate this, because we do know, we do have certain instances with Manuel and then with the Tatiana Jefferson, that there's this technique that the cops seem to have. This one specific cop called Gentry Cotton has been kind of caught up on this, planting evidence. Maybe what I'm speculating is that they want to brush this whole grab bag, that this is just a grab bag that they have in the locker room, so when these cops go on duty, they can get a little trick-or-treat handful of dope, and whenever they get in a situation, when they get in a little situation where they need to put some dope on somebody that they shoot or whatever, then they go ahead and pull the little packet and drop it. It's called dropsy. It's called dropsy. That means when you do a Terry stop and you come up bone dry and you want to bust the person, then you just act like you're searching and you drop this little packet on the ground. And oh, now I can get in your pocket. There you go. It's called dropsy.
But see, the problem I have with all of this is let's just say you were that traffic stop that they did that to. Who are you going to tell? You can't tell IED because you just said they're not there for us, they're for cops snitching on cops. And then if you go to OPM, which is the Office of Police Oversight Monitor, literally they say we write policies. We don't investigate police officers. We don't reprimand anyone or recommend termination. So who you going to tell? So then you give
you
us
go to
this
jail.
This board of people that the police chief has hand-picked. The problem I have with that is you don't get to tell us, chief, who our leaders are. That's wrong. And as nice as these people may be, they may not be representative of the community as a whole. So why don't we get people that the people choose, like Adrian said? And so until we get a civilian review board, one that is picked by the community, we don't trust anything that's handpicked because IED is under your command and so is OPM. So why would we not trust that this handpicked board is not going to be under your command too? Do y'all agree with that? I mean, something's wrong here.
Yeah,
everything
Chief Noakes, if he's picking it, if he's making the recommendations, trust and believe, he will know everything that's going on. And for him to continue to act like he's about the community, he continues to put on this dog and pony show like he's about the community. You know what? I'm at the point now. I feel like the Almighty is moving. He's unveiling more and more because we trying to fight for something. We trying to fight for right. This ain't about I hate Manuel shouldn't have to say he doesn't have a problem with police. I shouldn't have to say every time we have a conversation we shouldn't have to keep on repeating it. We don't have a problem with the police. We just want accountability for their actions. Listen, they swore an oath to obey. They swore an oath to protect and serve, to do whatever it is, to honor whatever it is they honor. Listen, you got a job just like everybody else. You are beholden to the taxpayers. You are beholden to an oath. Now, look here. The POA, like you say, they run the department. I'm sorry. Yep. The POA runs the department. They are the problem. They are the problem. They are the biggest threat to anything we're trying to do to unify us, the community, and law enforcement. And look here, Kerry, I'm going to segue back to something you was, you know, you was kind of going into the Tatiana situation. One thing that they didn't do, and they had the information in front of them, why didn't you go back to that damn computer? The damn computer told you what kind of call it was. Why didn't you why didn't you reference what was going on so much that you forgot what the call that came in, and you could have easily said, oh, we got a neighbor that's saying, you know what I'm saying? We got somebody saying that they said a neighbor called in. All the notes were there. But you wanted Mr. Aaron Dean, you little rogue A cop, I want to go on a mission. I want to go on an adventure. I want to show my little friend, my little prosody, trying to impress Carol. That's what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
You were trying to impress Carol. Your character I'm sorry, y'all. This character show during the trial. We know that. So I'm not going to keep revisiting that. But, Kerry, I'm like this. We to a point now, it's going to take this council. I don't know which council member's going to do it, but they got to be the ones to tell the chief. They got to, because otherwise, if he pushes it through, then that lets me know the council approves of it. If he goes along with whatever it is he suggested, the council approves of it. And I'm going to say this last thing about this. Look, check this out. How we don't know those people that he's selecting, those might be people that they've given CCPD funding to. People who we know, that
the majority of
the people who, yeah, the people we know are going to keep pacifiers in their mouth so they can continue getting that money to do whatever it is they think they say they're doing for whatever they get the money for. So,
let me say this. The chief is so quick to say, well, we don't want to do this or we don't want to do that because police officer morale is low. Well, dear chief, here's a memo. I don't know if you got it or not. The community morale is low, and the distrust of police is high. Right now, the people have no trust in the police at all because, you know, I had one who told me, I said, listen, you know, why are four of you all showing up at my house and I didn't even call you? I said, I made a complaint to the chief's office. And, you know, I said, it really kind of scares me, especially in light of what happened to a Tatiana Jefferson. Do you know he put on the police report that I was delusional and I made an issue of a Tatiana Jefferson as though every black person in Fort Worth is not afraid of the police when they see police after the Tatiana Jefferson situation, as though it was basically something that was baseless. Like, you know, how dare she say she's scared of all these police? Excuse me? Yeah, absolutely. And I was just, I thought, in my opinion, it was ugly, you know, to even say as a black person, and in light of what happened to a Tatiana Jefferson, that we don't have some type of fear when we see them now in terms of will they overreact to a situation and how we have to dot every I and cross every T to make sure that we're not in any way appearing to be, as Manuel said, a threat to them, you know, even though you're not doing anything. You know, because Manuel, a man who's called, if you call five cops because a man's carrying a camera, everybody needs to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, before we get any further, I also don't forget that they first, the Aaron Dean and the other chick first went to the wrong house.
Or allegedly. Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Nah, I know.
No, they got that on camera. They had that on
camera.
Oh,
I never saw that on camera.
And are we ever going to get the body cam released to us?
No.
Probably not.
No.
It's not.
We never saw any dash cam video, did we? Of them going to the wrong house, did we?
No, it's
no,
there.
Listen.
I'm pretty sure.
Listen,
okay,
we saw
guys,
more.
This is what
we,
I'm going to say about Neil Noakes and integrity again, real quick. Okay, Neil Noakes and integrity. In this last little speech that he had with Scoop, his little PR thing, he threw out some statistics about 33 disciplinary. He's taken 33 disciplinary actions and terminated what, 16 or 15?
16.
Right. Right. So anyway, and then he said that two of them, he made out a statistic that two of them were reinstated, right?
Okay.
Let's throw all that away. Listen, you have Carol Darch, okay? What we learned in the trial was that Carol Darch was under, when Aaron Dean, Carol Darch was under the gun too. And by law, by the Texas Penal Code, okay, her actions that night were probable cause for her to be charged as an accomplice for to the murder. I'm just saying. So they didn't do any of that. But what happened was she quit. She locked up, went the POA way, and she quit. She resigned just like Aaron Dean did. And then she went off into the woods with working somewhere else, right? Well, then all of a sudden it gets time for trial, and Neil Noakes rehires her. And then we go to the trial. Well, listen, you don't rehire. She lost her freaking body cam. She was out there in just as stupid as Aaron Dean was. She pulled her gun out before Aaron Dean did in that situation. And Neil Noakes is just sitting here trying to play like, all of this other stuff. But he is the one that signed on to let Carol Darch come in and take. And I submit to you that that was a conspiracy with the DA and everybody in this county to go ahead and have Carol Darch, because it would look good for the police department to have her still in uniform on the stand acting like she's an exemplary officer. That girl should have never been rehired.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to be saying that. Go ahead and go to the right. I was going to say, make a quick observation back about the body camera. The body camera. So Chief Noakes, he let us know. So he went like back to the interview Chris was referencing. He stated in the interview that you can watch the interview, you can read about it. He stated that, we released the body camera, but we released them edited. You know, and we do that. We do that to protect the possible witnesses or protect the community. You know, shut the front door. Y'all not concerned about no community. We know why y'all edit those videos.
It's to help them control the narrative.
We saw more with the Amber Geiger situation than we did with our Tatiana Jefferson situation. We saw way more with the Amber Geiger situation, and it was they were following the same protocol. What did they do when they came up with Amber Geiger? They told her to cut her mics off. They said, cut the mic. Mm-hmm. If you couldn't hear no audio in the car, they was outside talking to her. Everybody cut their audio off because they were trying to, come on. So if we cannot see them. Okay, I'm sorry, Kerry.
I want to piggyback off of something you said. Lying has become a culture with the police department. Falsifying police reports. An IED officer told me about three police reports, y'all. I showed her three police reports that were falsified by Officer Michael Chavez, number 4053. Gina Bivens' boy. But that said, I was told that, after we went back and forth, and I'm saying, but I told you, you know, here's the evidence. I showed you, and she said, listen, because she really was getting frustrated. She said, he may have lied. She said, but he didn't break any city policy. So lying has become a culture in the Fort Worth Police Department. That's scary by itself. So they're saying it's okay that an officer falsifies police report. It's okay that an officer isn't telling the whole truth. Well, not telling the whole truth actually changes the narrative. I mean, so it's okay that they absolutely can put down on a legal document something that's not actually true? I mean,
That's not a general – what that is. That's what I'm telling you about the whole concept of internal affairs. Under administrative rules and the general orders, they don't have a law against lying. What they have is the penal code that is, there's a couple of them, but the one is false police reporting. a false report to a police officer. That accounts to police officer to police. If you falsify an, or either that, or you also have obstruction of justice for perjury. That if you sign a police report under pen, that you sign that under whenever you make a statement, you make a statement under penalty of perjury. That's aggravated perjury.
But,
so,
but you know what the thing is? If you're going to falsify a police report, then that means you're not telling the whole truth. So then how then can you go to court on anything that you've written on the police report and state that it's all fact? I mean, because you got to swear under oath, right? You got to tell the judge that you're telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, but you will have falsified the police report. So what are we doing?
Here's what I say is it's a thing that people need to understand too, because we're kind of hearing this buzz about oath breakers, oath keepers, oath this, oath that. Let me tell you what, under the law, under the historical epic law, even before the United States, you know what they need to do? They need to do away with the oath, and they need to have a contract. They need to have a specified contract. When those officers, instead of raising their right hand and saying, repeat after me, the best of my, I do solemnly swear, no. You need to get down and you need to sign the damn mortgage.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Because the mortgage is for real.
I agree. And, y'all, you know what? When you get through, it's again, it's a culture of lying in this police department because we know that the crime data that we're getting isn't accurate. Why are y'all falsifying the actual numbers for the crime rate here? Because people are moving here believing this is Mayberry, and it ain't. And so what you all are doing literally is deception. I mean, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because it's an election year or if it's because what? I mean, you want people to what? Think that things are better than they are? No. I think that's sad because if people do not know true data numbers, then everything about what you all are doing is not right. I mean, and it's absolute deception. And there's no reason that our leadership in this city should not be asking for proper data. And I've said this before. That's why they were struggling with the curfew. They couldn't get the curfew to pass on the council initially because they kept falsifying the numbers. And the numbers were so low that Gina Bivens said, but I don't see the numbers to support the curfew. But the numbers were probably actually there, but they had falsified the numbers. Does that make sense? Which is crazy. Jesse Tamerson was told us the other week that the juvenile crime in Fort Worth is off the chain, but you don't see that on the news, nor do you see it reflected in the crime report.
Or the
crime data. Something's wrong. Something's real wrong. And our leadership is not demanding better. But y'all, the good part about that is it's an election year. And if y'all don't get up off your rusty dusties and get to the polls on May 6th, listen, it's going to be more of the same. But it's going to be worse, in my opinion. Let me say this one last thing. If y'all fail to get to the polls on May 6th to make a change, these same folks are going to double down and get worse because they now have another 2 years. Unless they're recalled to do the same old, same old. That's all I got to say on that, y'all.
So another thing that I'm going to say on the integrity issue, because we was talking about Neil Noakes' integrity and the integrity of the total lack of transparency, the pitch black darkness of no transparency, but nice. Integrity. I'm going to tell you that the UCR, the Uniform Crime Reporting Standards protocols, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's about indefinite. That is solely dependent on the integrity of your police chief. Okay, everything that comes out of the police, every report that comes out of the police department, is dependent on the integrity because he's the one. What goes to the attorney general? He's the one that signs and stamps, signs off. It's under his signature that certifies that. Okay, so if they can still still arrest and prosecute somebody for murder, right? And
right.
They can go to prison. They can go on trial. They can go to the county jail, this, that, whatever. That doesn't mean that it just, I'm going to tell you integrity-wise, that doesn't mean that that crime got reported on the crime report. The police chief can fudge that shit.
See? And that's the problem. It's like, it's too much, y'all. Stop, I mean, if you want us to believe you, if you want us to trust you, then you have a responsibility to do your job to the best of your ability. And all this falsifying stuff, all this, you know, tell them this and don't tell them that, you know, it's okay to lie on this, you know, as long as you do that. No, that's not real police work. That's something else that's going to the dark side. And I think we got to realize that no accountability and no transparency. I mean, when you ask questions, Mona said, Mona, how many times did you say you called IED? I mean, how many times did you have to call to file a report?
Four, three.
See, come on, y'all.
And they still haven't answered me. They still haven't sent me no response to it yet. But they hurried up and gave me a response to when Bangle arrested me, say he did nothing wrong.
Wow. But I mean,
it's weird because he came over 100 yards to arrest me.
So, Mona, when they, that video that we saw, when they came after you, well, when you saw all the cars pulling up, what was your thought? Like, what the hell?
Yeah. I didn't know. What that lady had lied about. So that's what that kind of got me scared when I seen all of them like that.
Wow. I mean,
so if you found out, was that Sergeant Young that actually arrested you that day?
I don't know, but it looks like him, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. All I know, that was his name, Sergeant Young. And that's the one that chased me with Hoffman and They hit me with
and
the
that's
car.
That's the one that they gave a medal to in city council last week.
Whoa! See, y'all, and you know what? Now that's another culture. FYI, y'all, and listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host, and tonight we're talking about the fact that police are often use the phrase, morale is low in the police department. Well, tonight we're talking about the fact that morale is low in the community and distrust for the police is high. That's what we're talking about tonight. Because, you know, the thing is, you got to pay attention to how they're doing stuff. It's like the kids say, y'all doing too much. I mean, it's no way in the world that we can keep thinking that it's okay for police to harass people, intimidate people, retaliate against people, you know, lie on police reports, you know, abuse their authority. All of these things are going on. The 97-page report told us that. You know, the Brady's List tells us that. But yet, the police chief wants us to believe that everything's okay. No, chief, it ain't okay. It's not. And we have every reason to be concerned. And Maddie Potter is saying, well, okay, the police chief, he going to work it out. You know, he my friend. Well, Maddie, like, you know, this is an election year. And if the chief don't have no vision on how he going to work it out, Houston, we got a problem. I mean, we cannot just blindly keep saying, oh, okay, he's a good police chief and he goes out in the community and that's enough. No, it's more than that. Y'all agree with that? It's more than that.
Yeah, and I would urge everybody, I would ask everybody to sit here and know, okay, for a traffic ticket, I'm not going to talk about that, but that could be talked about too. But anything that you get arrested for by the police in Fort Worth or Tarrant County, pretty much – Fort Worth and Tarrant County, let me tell you, even if you get arrested and taken to jail and booked and then released, let me tell you what, the cost of that is a combined, every single arrest, okay, that's the combined cost to the defendant and the state of Texas and the taxpayers of Texas. That's a combined cost for every single arrest of between for at a minimum of between $10,000 and $20,000. That's because you get arrested for a misdemeanor, that's going to cost you, or that's going to cost the public, the taxpayer to pay for a public defender. That's going to cost $5,000 for a lawyer to be paid for you, for your defense.
Talk about cost. Yo, listen, and this is my truth, and it can be backed up with facts. They have harassed me since I covered Sherrall Thomas's murder by the Fort Worth Police Department in March and October of 2011, when Officer Romer, John Romer, said that he was being, his arm was trapped in the window, and so therefore he was being dragged on the dashboard. That. I've been harassed by them for that long. Do y'all know how much money they have spent harassing me? I mean, really, if I had to put a dollar on it, they have spent over $100,000 probably harassing me, 2011, 2023. And guess what, y'all? I've never had a traffic ticket in my whole life. I've never even been to a court for any type of anything. So here you are, I'm a law-abiding citizen, never been to court for anything. But yet, here they spend taxpayer dollars to harass me because I do shows like what I'm doing tonight. And I do these types of shows because I can't tell y'all how many times I've ridden the city manager, the city mayor, the city leadership, in terms of the Fort Worth Police Department, about the harassment, and nothing gets done. So I know if it happens to me, and I have a platform to talk about it, it's happening to countless other people. Mod is an example of how they harass you. But guess what? The city turns their head, y'all, and pretends it's not happening. Gina Bibbin makes sure that the officer keeps his job. So that kind of stuff, y'all just don't know. This city got real issues. I mean, Chavez, like I said, I proved he lied on three different reports. And Gina Bivens had Cindy Boland and Dan Hawes to write a letter, allegedly, according to Fernando Costa, the city manager, who said, oh, city leaders, like they're city leaders, y'all, that Cindy, I guess Cindy Boland and Dan Hawes are supposed to be city leaders. See how they picked those people for us? That they, the city leaders had written letters on his behalf as though to say, whatever your issue is with that police officer is irrelevant because city leaders have said he's okay. So this city, when the lawsuits start to fall like rain, y'all, they long overdue. And I hate that the taxpayers are going to have to pick up the bill. But again, it's long overdue. These people have allowed these officers to be rogue and do whatever they want to do. And from the police chief down, they have knowledge of what's going on and have done nothing to fix it. We're going to the phone line as I see Malik on the phone. Good evening, Malik. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, Sister Carrie. How's everybody? How's everybody?
Hey,
we
Brother
good.
Malik.
All right, what's going on? Yeah, I agree with everything that you said, Sister Carrie, because what they don't understand, as a community, each and every community that's in Fort Worth, we're supposed to have control of our taxes, our school, and our police department. And whatever NPO that's in your area, we are supposed to be able to control that. But these unclassified meetings that we got going on downtown with these clergymen that look like us. They stream out work sessions. They stream out everything for us to see. But when it comes to that little meeting right there, dealing with CCPD and these MAC meetings, anything with them, we don't get to see. But yet they speak for us. Last time I thought you're supposed to separate church from state, Sister Carrie. But thing about it is we got to hold them accountable as well as we do our police department, because they need to quit going there and there playing gatekeepers and not if we should have one agenda that we all should get behind in our communities. And so we can get it right, meaning that back, you know, in the day, they have a meeting with everybody in the community at church. Everybody voiced their opinion. We come up with one agenda, and then we go in front of them, you know, them folks, and say, hey, these are our demands.
As a unit. Yeah,
as a unit. And that's what we're not demanding nothing. You know, when they break the oath of office, that's what the terminology is not being used with these police officers. That when you break oath of office, that's inarguable when you got the evidence.
Well, wait a minute, Malik. We both watched that meeting today with the Echo Heights community leaders and the city of Fort Worth. Now, y'all, peak game. Those people over there in Echo Heights been complaining about the filth and the toxic issues over there for years. All of a sudden, don't get me wrong, they needed the help. White people from the Sierra Club decided they tired of hearing about it and something needs to happen. Well, guess what? When a group of older white people from the Sierra Club start going to city council talking about how dare y'all do them people over at Echo Heights like that, then all of a sudden the city decides to call a meeting and let's talk about it and let's figure out how we can fix this. Y'all, shame on the city. Shame on the city. Does it take a group of white people, elderly white people, to speak up on police brutality and police misconduct in order for the city to listen? Shame on the city. But that's what I saw today. I saw like, okay, everybody, y'all, let's do something. We need to talk about the comprehensive plan and the fact that it's not set in stone. We can fix some stuff. But that wasn't what they were telling the people before the Sierra Club got involved. So you see how the games are being played?
I don't take nothing away for your reasons of being mad about what you expressed, but I just want to point out, too, that this is something, another factor behind that Sierra Club, and if you've seen this Broadway Baptist thing, it's an organization thing. Those people bring it they come every meeting. And they come 3, 4, 5 deep, and I see them at that Sierra Club. They're at the county, they're at the city, and they got an organization that's showing up with they're moving as a unit in it with an agenda every single day. And I'm just like and I'll just say that I was a little bit disappointed with this last public comments. There was some Manuel went there, and there was some people there, but I thought that after that one that they had on the 21st, I thought that was a launch pad, and that I thought, you know, when Kiev came in there, like, there's no follow-up. I mean, Kiev should have came back and said whether he got his accountability or his transparency that he wanted or not, and now it's just gone. And I'm just – Sierra Club, they don't let it go like that.
But you know, Malik, we talked about that today.
Chris, you got to understand Kiev Taylor. Me and Kerry understand Kiev Taylor.
I know what you mean. I'm not amazed about it because I got some
intel. Man, I mean Chris.
I know, man.
Today, I talked to that family that he brought up there, Sister Kerry and everybody. And the game that man played with that woman is I had to step in. You know what I'm saying? Because she called me, and I had to tell her, you know, no, do X, Y, Z. But the young lady, mother, seen straight through Tatum, Sister Kerry. I said, well, your mama telling you the truth. She telling you the truth. I said, well, exactly.
Wait. We're talking about the family that Kiev Tatum took to the city council meeting?
Yeah.
Wow. Are you saying something else was going on more than what was stated at the city council meeting, or what was that?
No, what I'm saying is that he was playing gatekeeper.
He falls out. He fades out.
Yeah. He was playing gatekeeper. It was a setup. And, you know, she got a hold to the video. And I told her, look, little sister, just like bro said, sue the city. That's the only thing you got to do. Because one thing we know for sure, you got to have your day in court. And what they have this displayed is a horrible act of misconduct, the way they did her mother and those children.
So they did get to see the video?
But that's what Tatum said at the city council meeting, right?
I mean, she got it. She got it in her full possession.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she need to get.
Things were going the wrong way, bro. If you get what I'm saying, Kerry.
I'm gonna talk to you about that off air.
Cause we got listeners. We'll talk about that.
I get what you're saying about that, and that's why I want to stress this enough too. Like, the only thing I believe is in human beings, because I believe that we suffer the same causes sometimes. So that's why I'm coming from where I'm coming from. I don't believe those kind of people, the ones that come, shake your hand, smile. Here's what I can do, because it's always, but you're going to have to do this for me. So I'd rather it be like Malik said, people that are in the community that are actually suffering from it should be the ones that are speaking up for it, you know? So why are they mad? Because certain individuals pick a certain person, and then the chief or whatever doesn't agree with them, because we're not trying to hear what they're talking about. Just like what Malik said. What? Whatever that guy was, he took the family up there, and then he had to step in because it was some weird shit popping up. And that's my point. Don't jump out there.
And the thing about it is, Manny, they called me. See what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Like I said, I reiterated. I said, your mama, she seen straight through him. I said, that's a wise lady. And you don't never, I said, young lady, let me tell you something. When your mama tell you something, and what they see out of a person, baby, you take that and cash it.
That's wisdom.
And from experience, like I say, I'm at the point, I think we should be able to go behind closed doors, have discussions, and come with the best solution. But I ain't gonna pull that crap like Cliff did.
Showboating, yeah.
No, ain't no showboating. That's being disrespectful, because you don't talk to elderly seniors like that. And some of the women expressed that they were afraid, and I had to reiterate that to them, along with me and Mr. Brown, Wayman Brown, that would not happen no more. You ain't got to worry about that. We ain't finna tolerate that type of conduct. And I didn't know that another friend of mine, whose mother was one of the main engines behind Hillside, he got upset and you know, began to cry. And so, you know, what I was told at the meeting yesterday, but, you know, that type of conduct, we shouldn't be doing that. But the head of a snake was, you know, the councilman, because that could have been handled a lot better. But, you know.
Reverend Moses, I don't know. I was surprised the Star Telegram came out with that article today, and it was really polite, but it was on point, you know.
But he was on point.
But here's the thing that I want to say, too, that I've been kind of contemplating and have a conversation with myself about, you know, it's been kind of a thing that they've been talking about for years and years and years, about the racial issue here, and about with the old Dominion white thing, how they know how to play. And here's what I'm getting at with everything that we've been talking about today, and then with this election, what we heard about the redistricting being trying to create more Hispanic districts representation, the real concern. So the white people, I mean, this is how I'm going to say, the white people are trying to freaking pump up, prop up the Hispanic people, and then I'm just saying how I'm feeling it, you know, like how I'm seeing it and how I'm feeling it, because it's there, man. I mean, it is what it is, and people can sit here and say I'm a race card. I don't play cards. I just call it like I see it. Damn truth.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
But what I'm feeling right now, especially, and this is what punctuates it. This is what puts it on point for me today, to where I'm going to argue this with the police department graduating that whole class of cadets, and ain't one of them black. So what I'm sitting here saying, is all the problems that Noakes and all the problems that City Council and even Nevins and Bivens and any of them and whoever the community leadership is, what we need to start evaluating and having a conversation with. Is there some kind of underworld overlords that are trying to stir up tension between the blacks and the Hispanics just to serve their own purpose?
Oh, that Dave Cook.
I just got to say it.
That's Dave Cook.
Wow.
That's the head of the snake.
Wow.
And that's what I say, too. That's what I say, too, just as a strategy.
And I'm just being straight up.
If they not, everybody talking about Neil Noakes. If we can fire David Cook, Neil Noakes will be gone in a heartbeat.
Neil Noakes is inexperienced. If Bicycle Bessie was here, Neil Noakes would have been gone. He would have never been selected. He does not qualify for that position. He is learning on the job. That's why he is being toggled like the way he's being toggled by David Cook.
Yeah.
David Cook ain't never pull this mess when we had Bicycle Bessie.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this.
Because she wasn't going to tolerate it.
I'm going to say this. Under Neil Noakes, to be honest with you, something shifted. And what
recently,
I noticed is, you almost feel like Aryan Nation.
Yeah.
It seems like it's kind of like when Trump was in office. You know, people who felt like Trump, who had been silent, all of a sudden, you know, they got courage. And it seems like that's what we're dealing with now with this guy. It seems
the Halstead regime.
Yeah.
I'm getting this from the inside. And he made sense. Halstead brought all that in, right?
Oh, and I believe that.
And that wave went for a period of time. It takes twice that long in order for that wave to get out of the department. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine that was on the recruiting side. Dude, you know, one of the questions, why you want to be a former police officer? And his answer was, they believe in no policing. If you get what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. But
that,
see, yo,
that coach,
you got to be able to feel shift. When Noakes got in, something shifted, though. And it almost seemed like it was like an Aryan Nation, the bald head, and all it all seemed to flow.
He brought up Aldridge, too, and his underling, his second in command. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, something's going on, y'all. And it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel safe for the people, you know. And so I think if the chief has a vision, he needs to tell us. And if he doesn't do interviews, we don't get a chance to hear what his vision is.
Right.
Well, you know, I'll go back to what we talked about earlier real quick about him leaving that city council meeting after all that exchange, and then going off to the Old South right after that and having that speech with the talking. And this is what I see, Neil Noakes, every speech that I've ever heard him speaking, he's speaking to the chip on his shoulder. He ain't speaking to people, right? So what I'm sitting here saying is if you're a real leader and you have some integrity and some character to be a leader, after that exchange that happened at city council, then you know what? Yeah, it don't have to be public. But let me tell you what, before you go and bitch about it at Old South, go up to those people who had a grievance and say, and you know, and then that's why I laughed whenever he was on that damn scoop thing. I would hug what's Tatiana's nephew's name?
Zion.
Yeah. Oh, I would hug Zion. BS, man. You signed off on all that dumb shit when those cops, I mean, he wasn't in there then, but I mean, like, he should have been talking about the technicality of we did things wrong. We did things wrong, and so we got this Aaron Dean thing out of the way. I just want to say that we shouldn't have hustled him off to the black ops site, you know.
I think the fact that we're seeing too many situations where body cameras are turned off, dash cams turned off, you know, everything is just, ooh, you know, it's just big, ooh. You know, they didn't mean to do this. It's just some kind of way it just got turned off. It was muted.
No,
all of these situations keep coming up, but there's no accountability and no transparency when it happens. And the police officers always seem to get a pass. Enough is enough. We need a good police force if we down to 47. I mean, that's just what that is. And POA needs to get on somewhere with getting these people back their jobs who don't deserve to be police officers. Why would we let the POA basically ruin the fabric of the department? You keep telling us there's good police officers, and I believe there are. But why would you let the bad officers ruin the good officers, and why would that be okay with the POA?
I'll go on from there.
Chris, please. Chris,
yeah.
Please. You got to understand the hamster wheel.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the hamster wheel is the chief. The DA and their city manager. That's the hamster wheel. And I might as well put the mayor off in there. The DA come up every 2 years, don't they?
No.
Okay, they run their campaign based on conviction. One hand washes other to keep the bullshit going on.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't lock up folks, we ain't going to have no jobs.
Wow.
The money,
exactly.
And the city gets the money, and the county gets the money. It's a bullshit-ass game that we are all part of this field. Every time we pay 8.25 or pay for a loaf of bread, we pay for that disgusting-ass field. The thing of it is, when they have contracts with the police department, look how old that bullshit been going on. I guarantee they ain't updated that shit in probably 100 years. Now, it's up to us to hold the DA accountable and the mayor accountable and those councilmen accountable. Okay, 2 years, we walk your ass in, we walk your ass out until we have it our way. And the thing of it is, you have to exercise your right and form pockets of coalitions to get rid of the filth. And Fort Worth is a city that don't have a mother. They put on clean clothes, but they still stink. This is what shit that we dealing with. And we tolerate it. And think of this from coming from our black community. We clergymen have no business. No business. Because you're supposed to separate church from state. Talking about what the hell is going on in the community. That should come from the neighborhood associations, you know, et cetera. Point blank. They are the governing body of that community. And no preacher should have no business going down there talking about this, that, and other. You need to worry about preacher talk. Take your ass and read some scripture. But when it comes to our local governing body, that's on the community. And they need to step away. And we need to break that cycle.
But I'm going to say this.
I say if you're going to handle your business, you handle your business. If you're going to fade out and you ain't got what it takes, then yeah, whether you're preacher or not. But what to extend what you were saying about
man,
the
I mean, Chris, you ain't getting what I'm saying. You way out.
I do get what you say, man.
If you separate church from state, the clergyman should have no business in politics, really, bro. If you're doing it, if you're playing the shit right, that should be based on the people of the neighborhood association.
But he should be motivated.
You can
be
a
motivation.
Preacher. A lot of these ministers don't even live in these communities.
Yeah, I know. I got you, man.
And so
it's
that
different
needs to
it's different than the way it was in the old days.
You know,
I know. But on the hamster wheel issue, on the hamster wheel issue, though, on the hamster wheel issue, though, there's another dimension. There's a fifth dimension to this whole thing. And I'm going to explain what it is here. You had house debt. We're talking about police chiefs and the Fort Worth POA and everything. And what I will tell you in the history, what I've known in the whole history of police chiefing in Fort Worth is that the Fort Worth, if you go against the Fort Worth POA sway and you a chief, they're going to fucking wreck you, right? Mm. They're going to wreck you. They wreck. And I'm just going to say in recent, they had Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald came in, and there was beef between him and the POA. They wrecked him in a really bad way.
No, they ain't really got Fitzgerald. They ain't what got Fitzgerald. No, we ain't going to put that out there. No, they ain't
I know what you're talking about, that other thing with the Jacqueline Craig.
No. You still out, Chris.
Yeah,
I've seen the paperwork.
But I'm going to let me finish. Let me finish real quick. But here's something that I'm going to get to with Krause, with Ed Krause. So they, when she was talking about how we got to Noakes, we got Krause. Well, they did what they did to Fitzgerald, and then Ed Krause came in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then we had the Tatiana Jefferson thing happen right off the bat, right, real quick, right after Ed Krause came on board. Well, what Ed Krause did was he came up and he got buck with, like, he said it was wrong. He said, and I would have fired this guy, he was pissed off at he was gonna hold Aaron Dean to the he was gonna burn Aaron Dean on the stake, and the Fort Worth. What I submit to you is that was his demise as the chief of police, because what I think happened was he got off the rails with the trying to do that thing with Aaron Dean, trying to say I want murder, I want him maxed out, I would have fired him, and so what happened was in the aftermath as things progressed. And then Ed Krause went away. I submit to you that the Fort Worth POA went to the Bass Brothers and said, hey, we gotta tap this down. We gotta, because here's Ed Krause, this, that, whatever, and he's making, well, we want to let Ed Krause bow out because we got to put Neil Noakes or whoever else. We can't have Ed Krause because he shot us in the face. And you know what Ed Krause did? Ed Krause took a pay increase and went to work for the Bass Brothers.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I still think you look off on that one, Chris, but anyway.
Ed Krause is the security manager for the Bass Brothers.
Nah, that shit was deeper than it. Bro, that shit was deeper than it. Trust and believe it was deeper than it.
Let me say this. We're in election year, y'all, and we got to have – we got to have leadership that is tough on crime and even tougher on bad cops.
Exactly.
And if you're scared, go to church. But when you are talking about being a leader in this city, if you are too scared to control the police department that is under you, you should not be sitting up on that dais. If you are afraid to tell the police chief when he wrong, you should not be sitting up on that dais because you are putting the lives of citizens in danger. If a citizen can't come to you and tell you when the police did them wrong, you should not be sitting on that dais. And again, if you scared, go to church. But don't get in this election, in this race, if you ain't going to do the right thing. If you're going to take a POA payoff and always vote for the police department, you need to go home. You really do.
That goes for the clergyman, too.
Go find
some other
job to do. go find another job to do where you will not have this much responsibility on your shoulder. We don't want the job to make you to drive you to drink. Nope. Go home. And then be with your family, do other family stuff, but don't get on the dais and not be able to control the rogue police officers in this police department. Do not let the bad apples spoil this whole bunch. And if the police chief, who y'all giving a whole bunch of money to, can't control his police department, y'all got the wrong police chief. It's Neil Noakes' responsibility to manage the police department. And it's not his job to call people haters who complain about bad officers. Shame on the police chief, and he ought to be reprimanded for doing so.
Yeah, the mayor should have got his go for that. And the council should have got his go.
No, that's a no-no. You literally told the people, if you come down here and complain, I'm going to call you a hater. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to turn it on you, and I'm going to say you are a hater. Something's wrong with that.
And that just doesn't.
And everybody's talking. They made a big deal about Cook getting on Sasha Bass's jet and going on a freaking ski trip, right? Well, before Cook got on it, guess who got on it? Neil Noakes. Neil Noakes went on a field trip with them too.
See, we don't report that part though. I mean, and y'all,
but
tonight is a cry from some people who care about this city saying, listen, we can't go down to City Hall and complain without being called a hater. So we're going to get more than 3 minutes tonight to talk about all the issues that we see. And guess what? We ain't lied on nobody. Everything we said today can be validated. Every single thing. And if that does not spell we got a problem with this police department, then y'all just ain't paying attention. But this police department is in trouble. Say what, Manny?
Okay. I like how you're touching on the POA. But I'm going to help y'all out, right? Have y'all read the books called Law Enforcement, Police Unions, and the Future by Ron DeLord and Ron York?
No.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one called Police Union Power, Politics, and Confrontation in the 21st Century by Ron DeLord, John Burpo.
Judge O'Brien's about that slightly. But I hadn't read into it because, you know,
it's
my
talking
issues
about how police unions are going to control the city leaders. Yeah.
No,
it
goes deeper than that because, look, from the first edition to the second, they took out a part called Building Police Association Power, the San Antonio experience. Now, I want y'all to understand, right? It says Building Police Association Power, the San Antonio experience. So they've already tried this somewhere else. So all they're doing is going around in different areas around Texas and kind of like with pill companies that experiment on people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. They're going to different places and saying, let's teach them this way.
This is an old tool. Now, I'm going to back you up. The same technique these the POA doing, who did that? What group of people did that?
They gave them that shit, Tuskegee, with the syphilis.
No. That ain't what I'm talking about, y'all. The same technique, the POA, I think, gentlemen, the same shit the POA doing, what group of people did that?
The mob.
We don't know.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, the mob.
You got 100 points on your report card.
And that's why
And the mob did the same thing. They bought the judges, they bought the prosecutors, they bought the politicians. Alphonse Capone was a master of doing that. That's how the bullshit works. And they've been
guess when you see a police officer walk up to you that says gang unit on his fucking chest.
I'm scared, motherfucker.
Hey,
they scared.
I put it on history. We are here in 2023, but we got Neil Noakes, and he's rewinding it back to 1920 when we had freaking Bonnie, all that bullshit going on. The hype of the gangster era right now. Except now, the gangster era, they all G-men. It ain't gang unit. That's government unit.
Yeah.
Well, why is it kept? Really, the government is letting the police department hang itself. The government really want to take over the police department. Why is it kept?
No, for real.
For
they
get
Gestapo. They want the Gestapo.
They want to take over because what it is, they know eventually if they keep conducting themselves, they're going to be so overloaded with class actions to where the city on down there have to go broke. I mean, that's why we're telling the young lady, quit arguing with individuals that can't help you. Go file a class action lawsuit. One thing I know for sure, you got to go to court and present evidence and all X, Y, Z. And let that judge tell you who right and who wrong. Not some motherfuckers running around here for their own personal gain. And that's what they try to bully you and deter you away from is going down there and filing that goddamn paperwork. Quit arguing with them.
Yeah.
That's what I told you to do. You got Neil Noakes to where your lawyer should have filed a motion that way he came at you, that's grounds for dismissal all the way across the board. And you need to shoot the fuck out of it.
I'll even tell you even further.
Funny. If he ain't doing it, you take your ass to that law library, goddamn it, and get the goddamn paper, file your goddamn self. Your damn self. They got to give you a court date, buddy.
Nah, for real.
I
agree with you on everything. But look, you have to even think about even further than that. Look what they did to me at the Aaron Dean trial. And this is what happened.
This is how it got bad.
It got bad after that.
I went all the way with mine.
Look, I filed a complaint with the judicial people against Gallagher and then the bar on the two lawyers. They got in trouble. I just haven't had – they just haven't got to me about what they're going to do to them because they've already talked to me and told me what their whole opinion and shit like that. So it's like – I might not be able to take his ass off the fucking bench, but I will make him come out of pocket because that look.
The lawyer was on the commentary.
He already caught a boot.
That was on the commentary.
I forgot.
No, that's the dude that been. He the one calling that. He blew the whistle, and then but it was like five, what, it was about eight lawyers that chimed in about Gallagher, what he did. But he got, you got him, man.
This is the problem we're facing, right? Instead of them doing the right thing, they call favors and, I couldn't get them, get your boys. And like you said earlier, who does that? The mob type shit. So we are dealing with fucking thugs and you know, it's just weird. Like this is what I keep saying. If you have to lie to do your job, then you're not doing your job. And it's that fucking simple, right?
Yeah.
Just like if I was to
lie.
Murdaugh
trial.
You know, what
on this league.
Huh?
The Murdaugh family out of South Carolina. That's the type of shit that we playing with right around here. How that family had full control of everything until old boy hung himself. That's a prime example of what we looking at in forward. You seen that Carrie on Netflix?
Yeah, he used to be a prostitutor, then he was another.
Y'all let Marta finish that point. You were finish what you were saying.
No, it was just like to go back around to what everyone was saying. Like if we can't rely on the officer's word to be honest anymore, because too many cases. Because look, they want to keep it like it's it's just me that I'm the crazy one. I'm the liar, right? When I prove it over and over again that they continuously lie. Okay, think about all the other people that don't have a YouTube channel.
Correct.
That are afraid to confront them again because look what they did to them the first time. Right. Some people barely get away from these people because they finally find a good lawyer to defend them. But like I said, when they start suing their asses, they start sounding different. They want to cooperate now. They want to have conversations.
Right.
They don't want to control. They don't want to, control you or try to push a narrative, right? And it's messed up that's what they're telling all of us. That the only way we're going to be held accountable or listen to any of y'all have to put us in the federal court. And that's sad as a city.
And let me say something to piggyback off that. Listen, Fort Worth, if there has ever been a time to speak up, if you have been done wrong by the police department, it's in an election year. It's now. We're under 60 days to this election. Speak now or forever hold your peace. This is the time that you bring it to the attention of the council who asking for your vote on May 6th. Bring it to the attention of the mayor who asking for your vote on May 6th. And if they don't act, then you need to choose somebody else when you go to the polls.
Or if you're not comfortable with going, you can get a hold of me. I won't say your name or your information. All I will do is speak about your incident if you're not comfortable. Because, like I said, they scare people.
Wow.
Manny, I might need to get with you about this little young lady that was done wrong, her and that family that Tatum brought there. She reached out to me today, so I'm going to need to get with you to, Kerry, give Manny my number so we can talk. I got to talk to him off the grid. But, that was cold-blooded what they was trying to,
And that's what I mean, right? Because
they were trying to sell out that way, put it that way. That was just, but they need to, she needs to know how to line that stuff up and get stuff done.
Yeah, no, I can like basically explain what I'm doing. That's the only way I can,
she needs to know how to handle business. If she don't know how to handle business, but you do. See what I'm saying?
In her situation,
I
think everybody who's got a complaint, a legitimate complaint, that is. We ain't talking about nobody lying on nobody, but everybody who's got a legitimate complaint ought to hook up, and we all ought to figure out how to file these lawsuits if we got to file them without an attorney, and we need to start dropping them. We need to start dropping them 2 and 3 weeks until this city realizes, unless y'all fix it, we taking you to court and we going to get the money. One way or another, or we going to keep your attorney so busy, you're going to have to hire more and more attorneys just to fight these lawsuits. But I'm talking about people who have legitimate complaints of harassment, police brutality, they that murdered your loved ones without cause. The whole nine yards, because you can't go to city council because you didn't find out the police chief's going to call you a hater. That part. It's the truth. I mean, and the thing is, you got to realize, y'all, if you're tired of seeing the same old, you got to do something different. It's insanity to keep going around the same mountain. That's what the children of Israel did for 40 years, going around the same mountain. And we know now that something is wrong. We know now that something is wrong when you cannot reason with a whole department. You know, basically, you being lied to. They falsifying police reports. I mean, basically, they're rogue in many cases. And not all officers are bad police officers. Let me put this on the record. I don't hate police officers. I ain't never hated police officers, but I do hate bad police officers. That I do. And I feel like it's time that we hold our police department accountable for their actions, and we do deserve transparency. Now, if that's too much to ask, then they need to get off the payroll and go work somewhere else. But if we can't hold you accountable for your 8 hours on the job, or overtime or whatever you're doing, if we can't hold you accountable that you're going to come and work, respect the community, do your job, and go home, then you should not be working for Fort Worth Police Department. or somebody
I'll
else needs to pay your salary.
I'll jump on the back of that real quick. I would just say that the comparison is, like you said, with doing your job, right? It's sad to me that these guys with no post-secondary education,
thank
they
you.
Come out, this, that, whatever. But I'll be real quick. But a cashier at a grocery store, she goes to work every single day. If her drawer comes up, $20 short,
right?
They fire her. They fire her. Mm-hmm. She don't get no a POA. She don't get no POA privilege.
Let me ask you this.
Marino, you said in a previous show that Texas was what kind of state where they could fire you without cause?
Right to work state.
Okay, right to work state. That applies to everybody but the police department?
But union, when you're up under
like
union, union is totally different, Gary. That follows a different way when you're in union.
Okay, but I'm not talking about firing people for nothing. I'm talking about firing folks who didn't do stuff. And we're in a
right
to work state.
I mean,
but we're talking about firing
what you
people
have
who
with the police.
It's not about union. It's about something that we need to look inside of how the contract between the POA and the city. What is in that POA contract or their bylaws or how it's written up to where what I'm saying is if you break the oath of office, automatically the POA should never step in and fight for your job when you've done that. That's the only time they shouldn't fight for them officers.
Let me explain it real quick. You've got the Texas government code and some provisions under that the police, they have some leverage, but it does not change the right to work factor. So you've got arbitration and all of this stuff that comes into play with the civil service factor, right? However, here's where it goes. Like all of those cops, when they get arbitration, the police chief has the right to reject that shit. He is the chief administrator. Okay? Another state, in a right-to-work state, if you were the boss, you were the boss. And if you say you're fired, well, now here's what comes back. Is the lawsuit that comes after, and that's where they're scared. They did it to Fitzgerald. Why can't they do it to anybody? Why can't they do it to a little officer with a backpack full of drugs?
You ain't understand, bro. This is a Klan operated and has been operated.
But what I'm telling you is the police chief, no matter what, with Courtney Johnson or whatever, even Fitzgerald. If the arbitration comes back and the civil service administration comes back, that police chief can still say, no, you are fired. Sue me for it. That's it.
That part. Because they basically tell us, sue you. So, you know, you can sue me.
Yeah.
You don't like it. But
yeah.
You know what? People better start suing y'all. For real, for real. Y'all, listen, we got to get ready to get out of here. Listen, thank you to the audience for listening tonight. This was a hard subject. Like I said, I struggled with it all week up until about 5 o'clock today as to whether or not to cover this. But sometimes you have to put fear aside, y'all. I mean, this particular department does not hear us. The city leadership does not hear us. And sometimes it takes a forum like this for us to be able to say out loud everything that we've been thinking and have been afraid to say. Listen, y'all, follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page called Let's Talk Fort Worth. And we cover these type of issues in all of our shows that we've done. We post them there as well. Also, y'all, I want to tell y'all about an event that's coming up. June 17, 2023, we're talking about it early because we need you to know that it's going to go down on June 17, 2023 at the Forest Hill Convention Center. There's going to be the third annual Gospel Awards show. I talked to Elroy Roberts, who's the organizer of that particular event, and he says people like Shirley Caesar and Dorothy Norwood are on the ticket. So you absolutely need to check that out. And we're going to talk with him real soon about that event. But that's going down June 17, 2023. Listen, if you have a campaign, a business, a product, a service, nonprofit that you would like people to know about, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Drop me an email at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. And we will definitely be able to work something out with you. Listen, also, consider donating to the show. We want to take this thing to the next level. We want to get out into the community and do these shows live right there in the community, but it takes dollars to do these things. So listen, consider donating to us. And again, hit me up at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Listen, y'all, we got to get out of here. Until next week, same time, same bat channel. Good night.